In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Glory, Wonderful you've been. You are glorious. Faithful in all your way. My help and my reward. Say, you are glorious. My God, beautiful you are. Every God,
wonderful you be.
You are glorious.
You are glorious.
You are glorious. Yeah.
Faithful in all your
ways. You're the faithful
my
God.
And my
you are glorious.
You are glorious.
Yeah. Yeah. You are glorious.
Glorious. You are glorious.
You are glorious.
You are glorious.
You are glorious.
You are glorious.
Father, we declare that we love you. From everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. Let the name of the Lord be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We praise you with the sound of the instruments. We praise you with the clashing of the cymbal. We praise you with voices lifted up. For you alone art God. You sit upon the circle of the heavens. And you rule with the scepter of righteousness. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Your mercy is being new every morning. In majesty ride, O great one, in the midst of they that love you. From everlasting to everlasting, we declare that the nations will sing your praise. The nations will lift your voice. The nations will lift your banner. And every tribe and every tongue and every nation will acknowledge that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For you are glorious in all the earth. You are glorious. Yeah, yeah.
You are glorious.
You are powerful.
You are powerful.
You are powerful. Yeah. Ask the Lord for a visitation tonight. Like the dew of heaven, O God, that brings freshness to the grass. Let the heavens be open and let the rain fall upon us. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Majesty, I acknowledge you, the doer of every great thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some may trust in horses and others on chariots, but we will trust in the name of our Lord. And they sang the songs of Miriam and they said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Even the horses and his rider has been thrown into the sea. We bless you for your healing, for your deliverance, for the power of your word to change and build, for authority, for your presence. We give you praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Jesus, we enthrone you.
Sing it from your heart.
And we proclaim.
His presence is mighty in our midst tonight.
Standing here in the midst of all.
We raise you high with our praise. Lord, build your throne.
And as we worship you, come and build your throne.
And as we worship you, and as we worship you, the Lord of Israel, and we
worship. One more time, as we worship.
And as we worship, come and build your throne in this place tonight.
Hallelujah. Jesus, be lifted high tonight. Your people have come to receive and to be changed. In the name of Jesus, I pray that your power will be available to heal, to deliver, to bless. That your word will transform us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. It's good to be back and it's good to see everyone. Those of us standing, we really apologize. Appreciate all the workers and everybody for your diligence even while I was away. Thank you so much. And I want to appreciate all of us again for consistently submitting ourselves to the dealings of the Spirit. There is a formula for impact. There is a formula for carrying heavy weights of the presence of God. There is a formula for affecting a generation. And what is happening to you is the building that will lead to that. You are satisfying that condition. And you may not look like it now, but by and large, you will see the beauty and the glory of the Lord arise in your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is taking us somewhere. And we give him praise for where we see him taking us. Hallelujah. Once again, I welcome every one of us. Thank you so much for being around. I want to talk to us tonight in a way that I hope will challenge us. This is a preparatory teaching for the series that we're about to start next month. And I trust that the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Tonight's teaching is very important, and I am praying that not only do we pay the price to come here every week and listen to the messages, but I'm praying and hoping from the depth of my heart that we are submitting ourselves to these teachings. It's amazing how lives are being transformed and changed. Hallelujah. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we will keep changing. Hallelujah. Lay your hands on your head and pray in tongues and say, Father, do something in my mind and my life. Please pray. Now is not the time to stay around carelessly. Be focused and pray. Lay your hands on your head and pray. Do something upon this mind. I allow you to flow through me. Let my mind not be a limitation to my destiny. There is a voice that you have given me that my generation must hear. And everything that constitutes a limitation must leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week, we listened again to the message. Hallelujah, that I had preached about allowing the kingdom of God to find expression. And in that teaching, I began to say how that the limitation of the impact of men is not the power or the ability of God, but our mind from the realm where we allow our wills, our emotion, and our intellect to come under submission to the government of Christ. And that if we can satisfactorily do that, there is no limit to which God will be able to use us. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7. Let's begin tonight. I want to establish a few things and then we'll pray.
You make all things new. Yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward.
That's what he's doing in someone's life tonight.
You make all things new.
God has no favorites in the kingdom. Listen to me. God has no favorites in the kingdom. God loves everyone in the kingdom equally, but he does not trust everyone equally. God has no favorites in the kingdom. But the operation of God, when you read the Bible, it makes it look as though God had a soft spot for certain people and he seemed to reject others. Until you understand the character of the operation of the kingdom, you may think God has favorites. God has no favorite preachers. God has no favorite businessmen. God has no favorite students. God has no favorite history makers. Every man is saddled with the responsibility of charting the course of his destiny. And the degree to which we come into alignment with God's precepts is the degree to which it looks like God is tilting towards our direction. It's very important that I say this, because we live in a society that the difference is clear in everything. Among preachers, the difference is clear. There are men of God struggling and struggling and struggling to make impact. There are men of God struggling to do what they call ministry. In the world of finance, there are those making impact and there are those living as if God hates them. In the world of family life, there are others raising award-winning children. There are others raising armed robbers and cowards and thieves and nuisance to society. In the world of impact, there are those that the hand of God is mighty upon. They are shaking lands and territories, and yet there are others crouching and scrambling for relevance. What is responsible for this difference? Could it be that God decided to choose others? Could it be that God just hated others? Is that really it? What would be responsible, brothers and sisters, for a man who rises up as a nobody? The map of your village not being on the map. And yet you rise to be a global phenomenon where people say, thank God you were born. Thank God you did not die. Blessed is the womb that produced this child. What makes that difference? That a man will be born a pauper with rain falling, and yet at the end of his life, he is a generational blessing. His name becomes an access key to favor. That every time you say, I am associated with Sam, they say, which Sam? Because of that, access is given. What is responsible for this difference in society? It's not enough just to love God and know God and pray in tongues. A true apostolic ministry prepares people to be agents of societal transformation. It's not enough just to pray in tongues. The Bible never said you are the light of the church. It said you are the light of cosmos, the world. there is a level of impact and illumination that comes from the church. The key to world evangelization is not necessarily evangelism as we know. It is evangelism, but not one-on-one preaching and sharing tracts. We will never win souls that way till Jesus comes. The key to transgenerational impact and bringing territories to the submission of the Christ is hidden in one word: influence. 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 The mystery word that holds the key to compelling generations to come to the Lordship of Christ. Everybody say influence. Influence will do more than tracts will do. Influence will do more than crusades will do. Influence. At every given point in your life, your decisions, your values are being altered by someone you look up to as a role model, consciously or unconsciously. And therefore, the key to bringing earth, our territories, cosmos, to the obedience of Christ is ascending intentionally to a position of kingdom influence that grants us access to the minds of people, and that they can, by our influence, buy into our ideology which seeks to enthrone Christ as king. This is the gospel. The gospel is not just a message that saves sinners. The gospel is an ideology, like a terrorist ideology. The gospel is an ideology that seeks to enthrone Christ and his purpose. First, that spiritual kingdom in the hearts of men. Then, the influence of his jurisdiction across the strata of society. If we are not doing this, there is no reason why we should be alive. No matter what kind of conference, convention, impartation, if it does not lead to what I just told you, then it's a waste. The summary of all that I just said is called kingdom advancement. The intentional, strategic frontiering of the influence of the Christ in the earth. This is consistent with the eternal plan of God. What is the eternal plan of God? According to Colossians, that all things be headed up in the Christ. And I told you that that plan of God, all mankind and creation will come to the submission of the Christ by a principle called the reflection principle. The reflection principle. An entity confers power on another as a proof of his might and royalty. The mystery of the sun and the moon. The moon does not have a glory of its own. It reflects the glory of the sun. If you want to see the excellency of the brightness of the sun, you look at the moon. The degree to which the moon aligns with the sun is the degree to which it shines. Hallelujah. Christianity is not just a religion to keep you busy until Jesus comes. Christianity is not just a religion to keep you until you get a job, or until you graduate, or until you get married. Christianity is an ideology. The faith life is an ideology. It's a movement. It's a cause. There is something we are doing. God has an intention in his mind. And he expects every inhabitant in the earth to be given an opportunity to understand that. His emphasis right now is building his spiritual kingdom in the hearts of men. And that's what we call being born again. The establishment of the reign and the rule of the Christ in the hearts of men. Not just coming for altar call. Altar call is not enough to get you born again. It gets you saved. But to be born anew and to be transformed, the Christ needs to be established in your heart. The degree to which the word of God finds expression in your life, the degree to which you have submitted to the principles of the kingdom, is the degree to which Jesus has become Lord of your life. Are we understanding? One of the biggest limitations I taught us that there are two major limitations to the advancement of the kingdom. That the first, the Bible calls it the gates of hell. It's just a recap. And I told us that the gates of hell defines the scope of Satan and every arsenal that he brings. His tricks, his strategies that he brings to bring the whole world into deception. But that's not even the biggest limitation. the biggest of all limitations is the mind. Our mental alignment to the ways of the kingdom. This is what is responsible for your prosperity. This is what is responsible for your impact. This is what is responsible for the flow of God's power. Now, preachers have erroneously taught people. Every time you talk about the mind, preachers shift people to, they shift that topic to business people and entrepreneurs and proprietors and all those who have to deal with the corporate life. So here they are sweating and believing they are training their spirit. Whenever you talk about mind, they say, no, it's all right. I'm not a businessman. The mind is the access point for the spirit to find expression in your life. You ignore your mental development. You ignore the alignment of your mind to the government of the Christ. You will fail in life in every respect. I can never change you until I change your mind. I can never change you till I alter your ideology, because your life revolves around your thinking, around your perception about life. There's nothing I can do about your current situation until you are willing to submit your mind to something better. It's God speaking to us. So let's read Proverbs 23, verse 7. Help us, Holy Spirit. One, two, read. Just the first phrase. You don't need to read all of those ones down. One, two, read. For as he thinketh in his heart or in his mind, so is he. It equates the summation of your ideologies to the quality of your life. Meaning the quality of my life as an ambassador of the kingdom, as a husband, as a father, as a leader, is dependent on the sum total of the ideologies that inform my decisions. Profound truth, that a man's life is helplessly at the mercy of his mindset. I've done many teachings about mindsets, and I will not stop until a transition happens. The key to persuasion is repetition, not information. Repetition. When a truth is repeated, it becomes a priority to you. And that's the goal of this teaching. God is doing a mighty work in your life. God is transforming mighty men in this place. And he won't stop. He won't stop till you look just like him. He won't stop. No, he won't stop till his church looks like him. He won't stop. He won't stop till you look just like him. You know why I must preach this? Because seated where you are is the destiny of thousands that have been connected to your grace and your life. And your refusal to rise will make thousands to go to hell, millions to perish. Imagine if there was no Benny Hinn. Imagine if there was no Reinhard Bonnke. Right? Imagine if all of the mighty men that have brought great impact in this generation did not rise. I refuse to let your tears stop me. I refuse to let your anger with me stop me. I will teach it until that transformation happens. You may not see a need to thank me now, but as surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, when you see the excellency of your life above that of your contemporaries, you will find a reason to say, Lord, I thank you. The training process is always difficult because mankind has been designed to live in a comfort zone. We are designed to live around an environment that massages our current level. But every time the word begins to come, the first thing that happens is your current mentality will resist it, because it knows that it will have to choose to accept that it is wrong and change. And accepting faults is one of the biggest ego-stinging things for mankind. To say, oh, I'm wrong. I may not have gotten it well this way. So we prefer to excuse it away and remain. Friends live together for as long as they think together. The moment one begins to think above, the environment starts driving him away. Right? I'm challenging you because there's something about your life. Koinonia is an apostolic platform. Only with the eye of the Spirit will you see the kind of mighty men that have been raised. There are more people. This crowd constitutes only less than 10% of the total people who will listen to this message. And so I'm speaking to nations. I'm speaking to individuals. I'm speaking to territories. Somebody will be listening to this message who is lying down at the end of his life and say, God, is this how my life will be? And God is saying there is a way out. The way out is not giving you money. The way out is not patting you when you do not deserve to be patted. The way out is to prune and build and to furnish. It may cost you tears, but let me tell you, anybody that loves you, see, a mentor is not your friend. Are you getting what I'm saying? I taught the School of Ministry students that there are three spiritual platforms on which reception and impartation happens. Number one, a father and a son platform. A transfer from a father to a son. Number two, a transfer from a mentor to a mentee or an apprentice. Number three, a transfer from a teacher to a student. You cannot transfer knowledge from colleague to colleague. No, sir. It's against the law of impartation. That means every time you want to receive, one must assume the position of the greater and another the lesser, even if it is for the purpose of the impartation. Are you getting what I'm saying? So by the time, because many of us may watch people, if Pastor Jakes comes up right now to preach, I will not just stand and say, I'm the great man of God, he's my friend. No, I submit myself immediately to the grace that he's teaching, and immediately I begin to receive. Are you learning something? Society will teach you otherwise. That's why there are lots of failures outside. Let me tell you the truth. I give you a guarantee. If you listen to what I am giving you and you sit down honestly under these teachings, you will never, never be a disappointment to the kingdom. I give you that as a guarantee. But the problem is, to what degree are we willing to submit ourselves to the dealings of God? To what degree? Every time we come to God, many of us come with our bag of errors and we sit down hoping that God will add to us. Sometimes he doesn't need to add. He needs to take from you. Because what you currently have is what is destroying you. There is an ideology that is resisting the power of God in your life. There is an ideology that is resisting the move of the Spirit. There is an ideology that is limiting your financial life. There is an ideology that is limiting your ministry, limiting every aspect of your life. And when you contend for light and you receive that light, no power in existence has the capacity to keep you down, not for too long. Hallelujah. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As I walk around, as I travel around, I've had the privilege of traveling to different territories. I study culture a lot. In fact, whenever we travel for a ministration, if time allows us, we always take a little tour around the city to see the way of life of the people. I like to study how people think. I like to study what their priorities are. I like to study what constitutes a taboo for them. What is the scope of their ideology? And I am amazed. I see the reason why Africa is where it is. I see the reason why very few men out of a large crowd ever touch the true grace of God in their lives. I see the reason why, though many go to school and graduate, they end up failures from the perspective of the kingdom, failures in impacting their generation and being relevant for the kingdom. I see why zealous people will start out well and end as if God left them. There is something that we consistently violate, and that is the power of transformation. The power of transformation. The power of transformation. I can't tell you this enough, Koinonia. Listen to me. The power of transformation. You can rise from where you are. I don't care what the limitations are. Stop regretting what you are going through and what your father brought you into or what your mother brought you into. And concentrate on the transformation that will bring you up. Otherwise, you will sit in that position of regret and watch your children later join you. That's what has happened. We have a generation of irresponsible people. Spiritually irresponsible. Mentally irresponsible. Physically irresponsible. There has been a transgenerational game of blaming people. One generation blaming another for their failures. One generation blaming another. Nigerians blame government. Africans blame their parents. They blame institutions. Our refusal to turn and say, what can I do to live where I am? Gideon was a little boy who was hiding. He heard of the miracles that happened. And now, he was there reduced and an angel appears to him and says, oh, thou mighty man of valor, can you be the changer of this pattern in a generation? Let me tell you something. My message will mean very little to you and you will hate me if you are someone with a mindset that believes someone somewhere is responsible for your success and your advancement. If you have that kind of mindset here, your first assignment tonight is repent. Can we have the windows open? I think the rain is. Hallelujah. Everyone say, in the name of Jesus, I take full responsibility for my current position, spiritually, financially, socially. I take full responsibility and I am willing to pay the price to change that pattern. Say it one more time. In the name of Jesus, I refuse resentment. I refuse blaming people. I make up my mind that from today, I take full responsibility for the outcome of everything in my life. That's right. That's the decision that begins to change your life. You say this among your colleagues and they will insult you. Some of you are even feeling nervous as you are saying this, because it is very comfortable to believe your father is the reason why you are not serving God. That foolish man was a herbalist. But what of the mercy of God that has brought you to see the light? There are many ladies who believe it's the wrong training of their mothers that has stopped them from marriage. There are many people who believe. There are preachers, there are many pastors in different ministries who believe that the reason why they are not rising is because the GO or the man of God is not laying hands on them to do impartation. My challenge to you before we continue is that language of responsibility. Please pray in 1 minute. Say, Lord, I make up my mind. Pray, open your mouth. Don't just pray in your heart. Willingly and consciously, before heaven, this day, the 22nd of May, I make up my mind that from today, I begin to take full responsibility for the outcome of my life. If any change will happen, it depends on you and God. If your generation must hear your voice, it depends on you and God. Pray. Zika pratoko soto la makaria da baladaba. Shekete pretege de bosh. Pray. Le katapa ka protoso to barike te bele de bokoria daba. Pray. I choose to be different. I come from a family where no one has risen. Excuses here and there. We are from Kogi State, that's why. Excuses here and there. We're from the north, that's why. Excuses here and there. My father was a drunkard. My mother was a prostitute. I was born out of wedlock. Kill that excuse. It's a deception from the pit of hell. Manda kala pradigele bokoso brandigeria tabahashana balada 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 balada. I'm a lady, that's why they should take care of me. Kill that excuse. I have failed, that's why. I tried and failed. Kill that excuse. I gave God a chance and he didn't do anything. Kill that excuse. Hallelujah. Listen. Never try to waste your time. I'm giving you an advice that will bless you. Never try to waste your time investing in people who have not come to a point where they are willing to take responsibility for their lives. You will be casting your pearl before swine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Never waste your time and energy attempting to communicate truths to people who have not indicated a genuine passion for transformation. You will waste your time. Hallelujah. As a man thinketh in his heart, the summation of my ideologies. So I believe my father is a wicked man, because he would have sold the car and given me the money. Because I had to fend for school for myself. And that ideology becomes your template of interpreting life. Hallelujah. Let me share a few things. Your mindset determines your response to God, to people, to Satan, to challenges, and to success. Your mindset, your ideologies determines your response to God, people, Satan, challenges, and ultimately success. The Bible keeps telling us again and again. Solomon speaking again and again and encouraging believers of the need to guard our heart. Garrison it. Let's look at that scripture very quickly. Proverbs chapter, I believe, 4. 4 verse 23. Am I right? 4 verse 23. Let's look at it quickly. Yes. It says, keep your heart with all what? Diligence, seriousness, tenacity. It says, for out of it are the issues of life. Brothers and sisters, listen. Listen to me. Please look at me. I submit to you. I have seen people suffer. I have seen the bitter weep that the negligence to this truth will bring to any life and bring to any family. You can choose to listen to what I am telling you and contend for change. Or you can stand where you are and watch life whip you until you lose your faith, lose your salvation, and ultimately end up in hell. Is that serious? Keep your heart. It is your responsibility. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it, out of your ideologies are the issues, the decisions that frame your life and destiny. Your mindset about culture, your mindset about women, your mindset about God, your mindset about money and prosperity, your mindset about increase, your mindset about hard work and diligence. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you, wishing has never changed the life of any man. wishing only gives you a false emotional consolation. Oh, I wish I'll be anointed like Pastor James. Oh, I wish I'll be able to do this. Oh, I wish that God will use me. I know he'll use me one day. Forget that deceit. There is what you do here and now that makes you know whether you are usable or otherwise. Let me give you a little preview into the financial series that we're going to be having. In it, I teach on the power of decisions. Do you know the difference between a decision and a wish? This is it. I want to drink water. It's a decision. That's the water there. I want to drink water. It's a wish. Or a strong desire. I decide to drink water means I set it as a goal. And I am ready to find out what it takes to get that water. Are you seeing that now? A decision is different from a desire in that a decision is backed up with the willingness to satisfy the conditions to get that result. Many people wish for the anointing. Oh, I wish. Many people wish for a big church. Many people wish for a ₦1,000,000 or ₦1,000,000 status. I'm a millionaire in the name of Jesus Christ. No power will stop me. Stories. This is why people look at Christians and think they think we are idiots, because we keep fooling and kidding ourselves again and again. Say, I decide to make impact. I decide to be relevant. I decide to do big things for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because your life is a reflection of your ideologies. I've taught this, but let me recap on it again very quickly. Remember, I told you that there is a law, the law of manifestation. And that law is that your physical reality eventually becomes a reflection of your mindset. The inner workings of your mind is what will eventually become your physical reality. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means your physical life is a revelation of the summation or the quality of your ideologies. By and large, your mentality about prosperity will show physically. By and large, your mentality about God and the principles of the kingdom will show. By and large, your mentality about marriage will show in children calling you a loving daddy or a stupid Dracula who is killing them. By and large. By and large, your mentality about success and productivity will speak otherwise. Meaning, our physical environment right now is a gradual reflection of the reality in our mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? Watch this. Compare a general overseer of a ministry or president or whatever. Let me use a term that is now. Compare a CEO, right, of a company who sits down in a large office. You know how intimidating the office can be. With AC, flat screen, right? All kinds of things. Cup of coffee, tea, all kinds of things. And a secretary around. And you see the poor people in the company angry at that director, wicked man. He's the one enjoying. And the megad is there opening gates hundreds of times a day and receiving 10 or 15,000. And the megad convinces himself that the oga is not fair. This man is not doing anything. He just sits down on a chair, signs papers, writes a few things, and he's getting millions. My challenge is this: transfer them for 2 months. Transfer them. Meaning, tell the megad, we hereby give you this office, it's yours, for 2 months. And tell the oga, go to the gate. The oga is going to do something in that gate that will make people stop coming to the office. They will start waiting at the gate. There is a mentality. Are you getting my point? He's going to look and say, is there something we can do? Is there something we can do? Right there at the gate, he will start consultancy services. right there at the gate, you will think and say, how can I reduce this effort? How can I reduce the physical effort? And then he may create a chain or a rope where he just sits down and drive, or try to make a digital gate. Are you seeing that now? Whereas the other man sits down holding one wood and metallic detector and the keys, bunch of keys to a gate. Meanwhile, let's go to our man in the office there. The man is in the office, and when he sits down, the next thing is he opens the fridge, sees apples, dates, all kinds of things, and he says, my soul finds rest. He forgets. No. See how cheap his mindset is. He forgets that that company is at the mercy of his decisions, and he's eating. And quickly he sees some little money, and he carries that money quickly and hides it. And he thinks, what can I sell quickly? And they say, oh God, generator has spoiled. He said, leave it there. In 2 months, that office becomes his mindset. Are you seeing that now? You come in and see it dirty, scattered. They've sold a lot of things. They've sold the company generator. They've done all sorts of things. Right? Workers are not paid. Whereas you find out that the blessed man, the CEO, has changed the gate. And he will make it become something. What is the difference? Their mindset. They think the difference is money. They think the difference is expensive suits and expensive cars. No. Those things are a reflection of something. When you see a man mightily used by God, his life is a reflection of something. Are we following? Are we together? The next time you see a man you consider to be anointed or blessed, do not envy what you see. Try to buy into their mind and transfer it to yourself, and your life will follow suit. Are we blessed? That's why success is transferable. If I can transfer to you what is in my mind, you will be like me, but you will stop at my limit. If I can transfer to you what I have and challenge you to rise higher, you will be higher than me. You see that? Preachers preach out of the abundance of their mindset. A preacher who is not, for instance, an entrepreneur and knows nothing about leadership and organization has a pattern that he teaches people. All he would tell people is, just pray and be serious. The God of favor, God of Hannah, God of this, the God who located me will locate you. And the people shout amen. And they stop there, and they become a congregation of weak and beggarly people. The preacher himself, not knowing why he's successful. He thinks he's successful because he's preaching. No. Guard your heart. There is a mentality you have right now that is stopping friends from you. There are some of you can never have friends because there are certain mindsets and ideologies that drive every destiny helper who comes into your life. Something about you resents people from you. And if you do not take the time to study it and change and say, I'm like that. My mother never had any friend, only me. You see it? The transference. Let me talk about two quick ideologies or mental attitudes that have sponsored failure in the lives of people. Right? Number one is the mindset that bets what we know today to be low self-esteem. Write that word down. It's very important. I'm about to say something that will bless you. What is low self-esteem, or what we call complex? Please look up. Low self-esteem is the feeling or the mindset that brings a man to a position where he believes or he is convinced, consciously or subconsciously, that you are not good enough, that you are perpetually at a state of disadvantage, that there is always something you need to do to your life to meet up to a standard, a status quo. Are you getting my point? is a terrible mindset, a terrible mental state of being, because it produces dangerous fruits, and we're about to see a few of them. Let me tell you, the foolishness of many people in society, from preachers to businessmen to fathers to leaders, is motivated by this poisonous mindset, subtle but dangerous. Low self-esteem. What does low self-esteem do? Low self-esteem, when it is matured in a man, becomes the sponsor for an extravagant life, becomes the sponsor for aggression and looking down on people, becomes the sponsor for downplaying people as a way of trying to show your relevance. So all that fight for titles, all that fight for recognition, all that impatience that drives people into living an extravagant life is primarily because of a deep-seated mentality of low self-esteem. Are we blessed? So a lady believes that until she plants a particular kind of hair, she can't be beautiful and guys will not see her. Wherever she got that ideology, and then she finds out that the weave on is 15,000 and that becomes a goal. She's under pressure, borrowing money, trying to prove all kinds of things. And then when she buys it and puts it, she's hoping that now she has been able to attain a status quo. Is God speaking to us? So we have preachers with their clubs and societies, right? That is based on something they believe they have to do to match up. So a man of God thinks, I can teach, but I can't prophesy. And his complex begins to sponsor him to look for prophetic grace anyhow. Are you getting my point? Even to the point of witchcraft. And when he gets it, he now believes that when that prophetic grace is added to me, I will be like so man of God. Are you seeing that now? A poisonous mindset. This is what is responsible for the hatred of brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers. A father will fight with his wife because the father believes that this woman is a CEO and I am an assistant director, and his complex makes him feel do something to bring her down. Are we blessed now? Low self-esteem. A mindset that stops people from moving and taking the path to success gradually. Low self-esteem has been the reason for incessant impatience, especially in young people. They want to buy the car now. They want to marry now. Right? They want sharp money now. Sharp success. You want to start a ministry and in 4 months have a record-breaking 5,000 crowd. Low self-esteem. To prove. And you say, go and tell them in the village, God is at work here. You see that? Tell who? Them. That means there is a them you have been working for. There is somebody that you say, I must show this man that I am nothing. It's not enough reason. Is God helping us? Many of us have lost precious friends because of low self-esteem. Our low self-esteem makes us to interpret even a sincere compliment from a negative angle, because you believe that you must do something to match up. Who is God speaking to tonight? We have all sorts of enemies and all sorts of people. I look at people who I know at the level I am now, I cannot even wear the clothes they are wearing, and some of them are students. You know that God just blessed them and opened a small door for them, but that low self-esteem, especially ladies, sisters, say amen, especially these ladies. You will see a tiny lady moving around. Self-esteem is pushing her, and she goes to meet one big ungodly military officer. You know that she can destroy her life because she wants to say, I am going out with somebody in Jaji. Right? And that, oh, you think I don't know. You are joking. Is God speaking to us? There are many preachers. They start preaching now and they say, Kai, if I go, they won't know that, they won't acknowledge me. So let me start going on air. And the grace to go on air has not been released. So the resources to back it up is not there. And they keep yoking their members week after week. There are business people who start a business now and they say they want to do international business. They go and die in Italy or go and die in Brazil. Right? low self-esteem, being a motivation for many things. That's why you see preachers, come please. Look at men of God, for instance. When another man of God is about to see one, everybody is standing to see who will greet who. As a proof. Right? Meaning that the one who greets one is accepted. You see, we carry our villages, we carry our pain, we carry our backgrounds, mix it with the anointing, mix it with ministry, and off we go, misleading many people. So he comes to me, and then I cannot greet him. There are geos who will never turn and greet their people and just say, God bless you, how are you? No. Because if, how can I greet him? You greet my boy. You see that? Your village is haunting you. Your background is haunting you. A poisonous mindset haunting you. Don't just laugh. I'm serious, very serious as I speak here. There are ladies who believe they have to behave in a certain way to show they are not cheap. If you talk softly to guys, they will joke with you, give it to them, and they will respect you. That's your mentality. So God brought your husband 10 times and you drove him 10 times. Because something in your mind, you live around the mediocres just like you in the room, and all of them convince themselves. It's amazing how we mess up and people clap for us. You do something very stupid that demands flogging, and you go and meet people who think like you, and they say, "Kai guy, you represented us." Look, let me tell you, listen. You can decide to make up your mind and change, or live in that false sense of success. There are some of us moving around lying to people. Oh, we are millionaires. We are this and that and that. We are this and that and that. You carry your friend's car. You say it's your car. You find that all of those things, some of us are sitting right now. Aside from maybe you just beg somebody, the clothes you are wearing is not your own. The watch you are wearing is not your own. The shoe you are wearing is not your own. The phone you are using is not your own. You borrowed your friend's phone for 3 days. What for? What's the point? What are you proving? An Android device? Shame on you. If that becomes the whole circumference upon which your life revolves in, that mankind, we make ourselves too cheap. And so we do not celebrate what we are and where we are. We do not celebrate what God is doing in our lives. We rush levels. We are not thorough in the dealings of God in our lives. And we end up with casualties. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. That mindset of inferiority right now is what has made some people not to relate with certain friends that can help them. Because you think this person is a villager. If I react like that. No. There are some of us, if somebody looks at you in the secret place and speaks his language, not just to mock you, but just a nice conversation, let's connect. You say, please don't embarrass me here. Please, I've told people my I'm half caste. My father is from where and where. Don't come and fall my hand here. Hallelujah. I once was talking to a preacher and he looked at me and I said, do I know how much his suit is that he was wearing? And I was shocked. In the middle of a destiny molding conversation, you stop me and ask me how much your suit is worth? What in the world is that? The anointing just lifted. I just knew that there's nothing to tell this person. Say in the name of Jesus, I am proud of my level. I will rise gradually. There's no point trying to fake success. I will pay the price and be successful. Hallelujah. Very important. Low self-esteem. Many of us here are suffering from it. It's what is responsible for gossip. It's what is responsible for backbiting. That spirit, that feeling of low self-esteem, is the attitude that will sponsor your not celebrating the success of others. So the moment Mary says, I just bought a Jeep. Say, Mary, what a Jeep. Where did she get the money from? Mary that I know. Something is fishy. I must find out. Find out what? And you see, when you are determined to find out things, you will always find something. Is that true? Low self-esteem. Number two is the mindset that leads to what I call an uncultured use of words. Uncultured use of words. Psalms 141 verse 3. An uncultured use of words. God is helping us tonight. An uncultured use of words. Psalm 141 verse what? Psalm 141 verse 3. Everyone read. One, two, read. It said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Look at me. There are many of us right now where you are seated. The devil of your destiny, that which has chained you and made nonsense out of your life, is this gate called your lips. Hallelujah. The gate of uncultured words. Many of us have killed the dreams of people because we spoke something to them. Many of us have destroyed the destinies of people because we spoke words. Many of us have torn friends apart because of an uncultured word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you know that these decoration people, there's a way they behave? Uncultured words. Many of us have had witchcraft attack because our mouth introduced us to things we should keep. Do you know, see that lady, that fine one, the other one, that very fine one, that's my wife. In fact, I'm even planning, I think I should get to Germany, hopefully. There's one morning I'm waiting, and while you are talking, the elder is nodding. Say, where did you even say you are going again? Say, Germany. Everything has been working, all of a sudden, everything scatters. Our mouth. There are many of us, you plan to buy a car in 10 years. I'm not saying confession of faith. Telling people, look, in fact, right now, the last time we went to Cotonou, and it's a lie. Pressure to say things that should not be. Set a watch. Put a gate, oh God, in my mouth that I will know when to speak. Nobody mocked you because they did not know you were barren. You carried your mouth, running it around, telling people and saying, don't tell anybody. For what? I don't know you, don't tell anybody. It's me that said, Benga's wife, this and that happened. How we have put ourselves in trouble because we cannot shut our mouths. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was you that revealed to an armed robber that 10 million came into your father's account. They came, broke his head, broke your house, broke everything, broke the safe, removed the money. And he said, Kai, this world is a wicked world. Set a guard over my mouth. Let me tell you, you must learn to know when to speak and when to keep quiet. Many of you have made fools out of yourself because your father came and met you and said, I'm leaving your mother. And instead of you to be matured, you say, leave her, Jared. She's a wicked woman. Only for you to hear her own side. And she said, there's something I've not told you. Your father has been cheating on me from the day you were born. I've been enduring. And then you stand stupefied because you have backed your father and ran your mouth against your mother. Are you getting what I'm saying? The height of mental maturity in terms of communication is when you know when to speak and when to keep quiet. When to speak and when to keep quiet. Some of you people come to you for counseling and say, I've been fornicating, or I've been suffering from masturbation, I've been doing, immediately you feel, you say, ah! God is changing life. So say, what happens? Say, man, the rate at which masturbation is disturbing people. Some brothers that you don't even expect. You see that? Keep a watch, oh God, over my mouth. Keep a watch. A guy came and met you and said, look, oh,
we are going to get married. Let me just calm down. I'm trusting God for some finances to come. Before you know it, you have sent text to 11 ladies. You, chief bridesmaid, you, this. And then later the guy will say, I'm not doing. And the friend say, how far we're married? Say, hey, God is working. And you are under pressure because you've run your mouth saying what you should not say. The Bible says, a word spoken in due season. There is a due season for communication. Is God helping us? Mindsets. Many of our parents go and run their mouths in the villages. Oh, I've been promoted. I'm a millionaire now. In fact, the last check entered and they said, there's one village project. Please, we're allocating the task of 5 million naira to you. And you see that the children are crying and suffering. And the man is building a community somewhere because your mouth destroyed you. One time, one lady came and met me. She thought it was good news. Very respectable man of God that she was going out with. And I think one time, I don't know, let me assume the guy was carried away and he wanted to make advances on her and do a lot of things. And, you know, she advised him and at the end, he felt bad. He said, look, I don't know what came over me. Let's pray this and that. And then she came to talk to me and she thought it was going to be a good news. She says, sir, honestly, I need to tell you something. It's not every man of God that is a man of God. I knew where she was going to. I listened to her. There are some things you don't come to me for. Praise the Lord. And then she came and met me. That this and that and that. This person did this. Can I imagine that this person did this? She was so disappointed. She's still been disappointed. She still did this. And I said, shame on you. One. Because you were... Was it not in a room? Was it outside? It happened. You went to the room. You were also tempted. You will not accept that part of your role. The role you played in seducing him. Are you saying you did not see the advancement coming? You were enjoying the attention until it got to the limit where you think you can take it. Is that not how it happens? He was holding you, doing all kinds of things. You were enjoying it. When you felt it will now cross the boundary, what you call boundary, you now started talking and you are coming to report him. Rather than praying and humble yourself. I'm not justifying immorality. I'm talking about the foolishness of unguarded, uncultured communication. And the way she was talking to me, I know she has told more than hundreds of people right there. And you destroy. Now, listen. We are very disciplined people by the grace of God in this ministry. Are you getting what I'm saying? But many people have run down the churches and the ministry of others because of certain things. Especially this immorality thing. People come for counseling and they talk. They say all kinds of things. They say you are I remember one lady who met me and said, you are the only man of God in a long time who has talked to me without sleeping with me. I said, it's a sign that you need deliverance. While you are concentrating and saying people are doing this, there is a wicked spirit at work in you that is destroying people. Rather than thinking you are so seductive, you better find out that the hand of God needs to come upon your life to change it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Unguarded communications. Unguarded communications. Matters that don't concern you. It's amazing. You hear people talking about their father, talking about their mother, talking about their sister. A lady met me and said, her sister just got married. Oh, sharp, she's now pregnant. I said, shut your mouth. You can imagine the stupidity of your communication. Look at what drives your mind. Look, I'm teaching you this because it will save you trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of you are hated by people right now because you have joined the heads of too many people, including your destiny helpers. Every time they mention your name to lift you, people say, may God forbid. I rather die than to give this person a job. This person is a destroyer of destiny. Have you seen people like that? You come in between two people who are in a relationship and you say, my brother, I'm a Christian. I won't hide this thing from you. There's something I want to tell you about this lady. I saw the way you are buying flour and all of these things. All these things you are doing. What is this lady has been rocking her life since she was 13. You are just coming innocently. You don't know. You think she's a nice lady. And the guy said, well, I'm not saying she has HIV, but who knows? If there's something, go for test. Mount. Some of us, listen. Mindsets, listen to me. It's not just to say we want to be successful. Are you getting what I'm saying? I remember when Benny Hinn had his scandal, for instance. many people in the body of Christ did not stay to find out what happened. Everybody started moving, running down Ben Hinn. The following Sunday, many pastors were preaching. When they said they caught him with Paula White, right now that Creflo Dollar, you see it on news, that Creflo Dollar asked his congregation to buy him 65 million naira jet. That's not true. That's not what happened. Have you seen that now? Everybody, those who have been angry, there are people angry today that Kenneth Copeland is flying his jet. There are people angry at all kinds of things. And we run our mouths. We say all kinds of things. People have called their mothers witches, called their fathers witches. Listen, give yourself a warning and discipline your mouth and say, Lord, keep my mouth shut when it needs to be shut and to speak when it needs to speak. Hallelujah. Unguarded communications. They tell a man of God, lead offering. And he comes and says, as I was leading the offering, the Lord said this, stand up. To mean that he wants to show that he's a man of God. And you spend 1 hour just for offering. Unguarded use of your mouth. You just disgrace yourself and throw yourself in ashes. Are we growing tonight? Some of these issues look little, but this is what makes leaders out of people. Notice that leaders are calm people. They are people who evaluate things. They are people who look into things. Because one day, somebody is going to say something about your life, your ministry, your business, something. Is that true? I remember when one woman, I think somebody met me and said, one woman was saying, this koinonia, we emphasize the Holy Spirit, not Jesus. He said, that's witchcraft, that's signs of the end time. And the person was hoping that I would respond to it, and I just kept quiet. I said, glory be to Jesus. And that was the end of it. Because sometimes, I pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus, that may you not run your mouth in the presence of your enemy and give him the key to destroy your life. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And then it ruins your life. And then you close doors of destiny over your life. Many things have been shut in our lives because of these mindsets. There are many others, but I decided to pick two to talk about. Still, the mental transformation. That God will raise people in this place who are leaders indeed. Somebody comes to gossip to you, and immediately he finishes the gossiping about Tosin. You tell the person, let's hold hands and pray for her. And the person is stung and embarrassed and doesn't know what to do. Tomorrow they mark you as a real Christian. Do you know why many preachers' messages are not strong on the pulpit? They know you outside of pulpit. They know your life of gossiping and backbiting. They know your insincerity in handling the things of the kingdom. And so when you say God will bless you, the words are little. They don't carry weight. May God give you the gift of a friend that has discipline with words. May God give you the gift of a friend that will use his words to bless you. You may not understand the implication of what I'm teaching you. Well, I don't want us to just say, Lord, send the rain. I'm teaching you practical issues that will make you exceptional. People will look at your life and your ideologies will be compelling. And people will come and say, why? What is the framework of your mind? And you will let them know that the Lord Jesus Christ has transformed your life. You will see jobs you did not apply for come to you only because of your calmness. Everything is not just about your certificate. You will find out when you finish that it takes more than certificate to reign. Is God speaking to us? Preachers, God cannot trust you with innocent people because you cannot hear their cases and keep quiet. God cannot trust you with all kinds of people. There are pastors, God cannot trust them with large members because the day you know that one member is a billionaire, that day, everybody in the church will know that this guy is a billionaire and they will strangle him. Everybody will come and say, we are soliciting for financial support, and run him down because he gave you tithe of his billion. There are people in this place seated who are dangerously prosperous. Don't think everybody is struggling. There are people seated quietly here I know them. You see that? There are people here who are dangerously anointed. Graced of God. There are people here whose parents, if you know the status, the societal status of their parents, you won't even go and knock their office. Yet they are calm and quiet. The day I found out that one of our ladies here was the daughter of one prominent man, I was shocked. I was shocked at the humility and simplicity of that lady. The day I found out that this big man, this is the daughter, I said, my goodness, what humility. There are some of us, your father was given caretaker or something of a local government, and you wouldn't let anybody rest. I know that I'm hard on us tonight, but it's because I love you. I want to make leaders out of us. Not just men who are tongue talkers, but people who have the wisdom for living. Are you getting what I'm saying? Never sit down and entertain gossip. Be the one to drive that atmosphere away so that God will come and bless you. Never be the one. Let it not be your room that when they want to run down people, your room is the place where they meet. Say, let's meet at that usual joint. And when you come, say, hey, before they reach, say, sit down first. Let me be serving you minerals as you do it. No. Let your room be the place where when you talk of destiny, when someone's life is down, he says, I know that I will go to Sam's house. Because if I can find my way there, I will find God. I will find hope. My neighbor has one friend that I told her she may be here listening to me. In my opinion, that is one of the nicest women I have met in my life. And the most sincere woman. That my neighbor's friend. I've seen my neighbor two times when, our regular human activities challenges. She shared her testimony here. And that woman will come to her and kneel down and pray and cry. She will come and see my neighbor washing and come immediately and collect the clothes and wash for her. There was a time she came, there was nobody. Sometimes I lock my door and you won't know I'm around. She came in and there was nobody. Do you know what she did? She laid her hands on my neighbor's door and started weeping. And say, Lord, will you open the door for my friend and bless my friend? She didn't know I was listening. Hi. I said, oh God, will you give our people in Koinonia wives like this? How many of you can be that true that you use your words well only to bless? Will you make up your mind that beginning from today, I will set a guard over my mouth? My mouth will not be the reason why I would destroy the life of another. Anything that proceeds from my mouth will only be that which carries blessings. In Israel, if you curse somebody, they will kill you because they understand the implication of words. Is God speaking to us tonight? Many of us have made ourselves cheap. When you started out, people respected you because you were a man of few words. Right now, you have become a talkative. And gradually, you see that your respect has been going down. Have you seen people like that? One moment, they are rest. In fact, when they come, they say, sir, good afternoon. At the end of the conversation, the woman says, okay, my son, I've heard about you. Whereas, when you came, she said, man of God, I covet the grace upon your life. But you threw away your honor. Everybody, write this word down. Honor. Honor. These are the principles that bring honor to your life. Value honor more than money. Value honor more than reputation. Money cannot give you honor, but honor will give you blessings. Honor, the ability to recognize and reward your difference, is what we call honor. Uncommon principles that will make you exceptional. Tonight's teaching may look simple, but it is indeed powerful. As a man thinketh, your mindset. I'm doing a re-engineering in our mind. A recalibration. Changing our perceptions from our various cultural standpoints and connecting us to the attitude of the kingdom. That which makes kings. That which makes nobles. That which makes men wise. That which opens cheap doors for greatness. two more things and we are going to pray. How do I engage? I've said it, but then I will say it again and again. How do I engage in renewing my mind when I find out that there is something flawed in my life? How do I start? Now I've found out that I have a poisonous communication. Now I've found out that I'm a bitter and envious person. I've found out that I'm a jealous person. Negative dimension of jealousy. I found out that I'm suffering a lot of complex. I found out that I'm suffering failure and defeat. How do I begin to rise? Number one, you must admit and accept that you desire that there is a need for transformation in that area of your life. Transformation will never come till you are humble enough to accept. There are some of us here, God has been blessing us with all kinds of financial blessings. But something about our mindset keeps throwing money out of our lives. Favor brings money to your life. Wisdom throws it out of your life. There are many of us who ministerial doors open up to us, but the people never call us back because there is something about our mindset. You go to preach in a church, you don't study the way the church setting is. You just stand and run your mouth and say anything anyhow to anybody. You go to a church that is predominantly elders. Your packaging and communication must suit the context of your audience. You go to a church that is filled with intellectuals. I preach in all kinds of churches. And they like me. I preach in all kinds of places. Because I pay the price to understand the people I'm communicating to. It's God speaking to us. So God opened the door of ministry. You now went to preach. You were preaching in a military cantonment. And you were speaking as if you were talking to market women. Because you did not know how to communicate aright. And they said, please, don't bring this man again. This man came to embarrass us. Our Oga was here. We thought God would glorify himself. God glorified himself, but this man, Kai, don't bring him again. And the door closes. And you see a man, 6 months, they've not called you to bless anybody. Not because you are not anointed. You have the anointing, but these mental adjustments. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are many of us, somebody comes to your life, and the mindset of courtesy and greeting the person, you just come and say, I am apostle, so, 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 and so. This and that and that. There was a young man that was standing. Well, while I returned from the trip, I just ran to quickly refresh and come. And the young man just stood there. And I was asking the protocol, why is this guy here? He said he came for prayer. I said, by this time, this is Koinonia. I can't see you now. He said, I've been coming, and every time I come, I find out that your door is locked. So I decided to come now and stay. You see that? On a very good day, I would have said, so, it's like nobody has introduced me to you, Abi. Protocol, can you let him know the kind of... No. Yes, he did what was wrong, but at least solve the problem at that point since he's there. And bless him, and then show him the right way to do it. That guy now will live loving me more, but he can live hating me. And say, this person, he's going right there to go and preach, but this is a soul dying. So is your genuine test for souls true? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Little foxes, brothers and sisters, spoil the vine. Little adjustments that we need to make to our lives to make us exceptional. Many of us are anointed, no doubt. But many of us cannot reign. Because the wisdom that makes for dominion, the wisdom that makes men exceptional, the wisdom that makes people extraordinary is deficient in our lives. That mental adjustment. One more time, lay your hands on your head. And say, Lord Jesus, I make up my mind to make the required adjustments for my greatness. I make up my mind to contend for change and contend for adjustment. I make up my mind to lay aside the old and to pick up the new. Hallelujah. I told you two more things. Write it down very quickly. Number one, two more things I'm adding to what I've said that will make you exceptional. The attitude of courtesy. Courtesy. You know what we call courtesy? decorum, respect for people. That attitude that gives honor and courtesy and respect. Another word you can put is respect. The mindset where you hold people in high esteem is an adjustment that will make the rain fall in your life. It will make you a magnet. By and large, after preaching, there are things you do that makes you lovable. It makes you inviting. Look at me. Come, Sam. If Sam comes and finishes preaching, watch this. And then I come up as a man of God and I just collect the mic from him and I say, Sam, that's nice. My boys are really growing. You see that? Watch this. Am I anointed? Yes. Do I love God? Do I love souls? Do you think my relationship with Sam will be sustainable? No. Because I simply violated his self-worth to prove a point. There's no attitude of respect and courtesy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Whether you are higher or lower than that person, that attitude of honor and courtesy. And I pick up the mic. Sam, God bless you. Everybody, let's celebrate the hand of God upon Sam. Sam, thank you. You are a great blessing. I honor you. Thank you so much. You see that? Courtesy. At once, Sam will love me and Sam will reward me by increasing my self-worth and my honor in his mind. See, this is what makes some leaders, although they are silent, the reverence that people give to them is almost like human worship. There is something they are doing. They have transferred honor to their subordinates and they are receiving the harvest of that honor back. Are you learning something? Never usurp your subordinates to prove that you are mighty. You are a fool if you do that. Transfer honor to them. Some of them will be rebellious, but it's a law that cannot be broken. The honor will return to you a hundredfold. Is God speaking to us? The mentality of courtesy. Ladies, one act of courtesy can open your marital destiny. You have fasted for 40 days. But your attitude, no courtesy. You give a gentleman something, you cannot even give him with courtesy. Help me with that handkerchief. Take, hello, what are you even saying again? Take. And whereas this guy has been looking from afar, oh Lord, do I go or do I not go? And immediately he sees that nonsense. He plots the graph and says, no, this is not what God showed me. And he turns back. Are you anointed? Yes. Do you pray in tongues? Yes. But it has stopped the door of marriage. Am I speaking to us? Some of us, our attitude of being rude to people. Courtesy. I make it as a point of duty. I make it as a point of duty as much as possible. Even when I am rebuking people, they know that in that rebuke, I love them. I sent a text to the leaders, I think it was yesterday or today, appreciating all of them for handling the ministry activities and doing everything in my absence. I'm still going to tell them again during our leaders meeting because I love them. I honor the leaders in this ministry. I respect the grace of God upon their life. And I thank God for the grace and the opportunity and the privilege of working with. That is the reason why no matter what happens when you come outside, you must find some chairs. I rebuke the protocol most times when I come and see people standing. Why? Because of honor. I honor the fact that you left your house and came here. Are you seeing that you are not just coming to Koinonia because I'm anointed? There is an atmosphere that unconsciously honors you. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are churches you go and you are treated like a piece of rag. The only person who deserves to be honored is the man of God. And members say, I can't stay here. Is the man warded? Yes. Is he anointed? Yes. But he does not understand the organizational principles of sustaining success. Please learn it. Courtesy. Learn to be cautious. Learn to treat people with honor and respect. Greet people. Greet people. Say this person, when I was in SS3, was bliss, leave all those things. Greet people. Oh, Benga, how are you? Abiodun, how are you? When I came in, I saw Jake. I gave him a nice hug. Not that I just come and say, No. Say, I receive grace to honor men. Say, I receive grace to show courtesy. If somebody offends you, handle the situation in wisdom. Don't just hit things in a way that you scatter the opportunities of tomorrow because you are trying to respond to the pain of today. There are roommates who cannot talk to themselves again because of that mutual respect of honor. And you, when people honor you, reciprocate it back. You become foolish when you are only receiving and not giving. If Tosin looks at me now and says, says something that I like, I will find something to reciprocate. And so you become a friend of everybody. When people are suffering from complex, they run to you because you have an atmosphere that says you are welcome. You have an atmosphere. When I finish Koinonia here, I've been tired since morning, but I have to stand here to at least, the people are joining a line that is already embarrassing for me, because I know some of the people standing in that line, it's not like there are some helpless people, but they humble themselves and they stand. And to be able to do that, I give them a hug. I talk to them with courtesy. All our little children that come to hug me here, I honor them. That's why immediately after service, they come around. You, the little children sit near you. As they are sharing the grace, they are running away from you. Something about your life is driving them. That's how a business partner will look at you and say, you don't have the skill for business, but there is an attitude. There's something about you. I want to do business with you. There is a business of hundreds of millions that I want to do with you. And you step into favor. Favor that you will never recover from. There are doors of ministry that have been opened to me today that I know should never have been opened. But because I honored my way to them, I treated people with courtesy. And I didn't know when I met them again, and they were the ones who advocated that I be blessed. Is God speaking to us? The last thing I want to talk about is the mentality of endurance. Endurance. Help us, Holy Spirit. Just give me 5 minutes and we'll pray. Everybody say endurance. Say it, endurance. The Bible puts it this way. He that endures to the end. Everybody say endure to the end. Many people will never taste of the fruit of true success because we gasp out. We do not have the staying power. Listen. That's why the ministry of prayer is inevitable if you want to finish strong. Endurance. In your journey to greatness, you will endure. You will endure hardship. You will endure misunderstanding. You will endure misinterpretation. You will endure a lot. You will make sacrifices. You will endure hunger. But he that endures, let me tell you, when you see a blessed man, respect him. Don't ever see any man, either in the corporate world or in the ministry, that is truly lifted and trivialize what God has done. Never want my crown until you see the scars on my hand. Every crown has a scar on the hand. Are you getting this? I'm rounding up. I'm speaking to you. That illusion that greatness will just happen to you is a dream. Wake up. That illusion that somebody will become successful and then you enter his success just like that, I'm telling you, it's a dream. Wake up. So while you are there running people down, realize that if you must be great, your own curriculum of endurance is waiting for you. No matter how you are, there are people today who misunderstand Koinonia. There are people today who misinterpret what we are doing. We have been persecuted in our respect. Don't you think it's everybody that loves Joshua Selman? There are people, when you call Joshua Selman, it's as if you call the Lord Jesus. There are people, if you call Joshua Selman, it's as if you call the devil and the Antichrist. All together is what builds dexterity for ministry. I remember when the protocol started responding to calls and the rest, I received a lot of backlashes from people. Are you trying to say you are too busy now, you cannot respond to us? Why should protocol be endurance? But right now, it has proven to be an excellent system. Endurance. Are you willing to endure? Many of us do not want to be talked bad about. Sorry for you, as far as success is concerned. Let me tell you, it's a cross that every great man must carry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You want anointing, but you don't want the persecution that comes with it. You are dreaming. Oh, they will talk against you. They will say, how are we sure that anointing is genuine? How are we sure the miracles are real? How are we sure? This one that have not been around now for 2 weeks. Somebody can say, I knew it. Maybe he went to collect power. He went to collect power for the next level. Listen, listen. Never be under pressure to prove your innocence. There is a law. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Be comforted by the immutability of kingdom laws and do not be under pressure to prove any point. If somebody meets somebody and say, Benga, I'm suspecting that he has been sleeping with prayer band ladies. Don't try me. God knows. No. You can do nothing against the truth. The truth was buried. After 3 days, it resurrected. You can't hide truth for long. No, sir. Keep your sacrifice. Endure. I'm giving you a mindset. Realize that success does not come on a platter of gold. The favor of God does not take away the need for endurance. You will endure hardship. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will endure hardship. To be prosperous financially, you will make sacrifices. You will make mistakes. You will learn a lot. To grow in ministry, you will have to learn a lot of lessons through pain, sweat, and blood. I know my message is not attractive, but this is what will make you uncommon. Endurance. Endure hardship as a faithful soldier of Christ. You went to win souls, nothing happened. You went for that meeting, you thought the power of God would move, nothing happened. And you seem to live in shame. Don't worry. Keep fasting. Keep praying. I know you went and it looked like they dared you. You went to sing and you lost your key. You lost your voice. You embarrassed. Don't worry. Let them keep laughing. Don't be under pressure to prove anything. And say, no, I can sing. Oh, what happened that day is I had kata. Forget about all those explanations. Kata or no kata, continue. A day will come. You will be noted for persistence. And your critics will become the advocates of your lifting. When you endure, if you give up, you make the prophecy of your critics true. You make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. God is speaking to someone. We are rounding up. That all you need is to keep doing what you are doing. I know they are talking about you at home. Your prayer life has brought a lot of persecution, but endure. Keep praying. Sister, they've told you you will marry the Holy Spirit. No problem. Keep praying. They've called you Mother Mary, and now you are ashamed. You cannot even hold your Bible again. Endure. Listen, it's an irrefutable law of greatness. An irrefutable law. I thank God today for the sacrifices of endurance. I thank God for the times when I did not give up in my life. Today, it has translated to the salvation of millions, the transformation of lives. Seated here right now listening to me are people who need to endure. I know you have been taught that if it is of God, it must come cheap and easy. No, sir. There is a system in the kingdom where men pass through the cross to get the crown. This is a very deep teaching. You must endure. We are going to pray. Oh, I will endure. No matter what it will take. and will endure. As you're sitting down right now, there may not be one naira in your pocket, but endure. Keep tithing. Some of you, aside from boss, you may trek home. Endure. Some of you, you go and receive, as old as you are, you still receive all kinds of beating from your elderly ones. Endure. And you see the hand of God upon your life. Endure. Who is God speaking to? Some of you are spilling over and it looks bad, but God is speaking to you tonight. Endure. Don't worry. It looks like 1 year is a long time. 2 years is a long time, but don't worry. Like the twinkling of an eye, you will come out. But as you are coming out, you will not just come out a graduate. What would take your colleagues 10 years you have learned? So one giant leap in destiny you will cover up. But for now, endure. 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 You don't have suits to wear. Don't be under pressure to do anything. Endure. Is God speaking to us? I choose to endure. This is how this ministry came. To see what God is doing today. And to see where He brought us. And to see where He's taking us. Endurance. Endure the mockery. Endure the shame. Never be under pressure to prove yourself. At every given point in your life, those who love you outweigh those who hate you. Don't, because of the 5 or 6 people that hate you, you throw away the honor of millions of people in your life. If 30 people hate Sam, 2 million people love him. Respect their love. And don't turn to 10 or 16 people and try to be under the pressure of defending yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? At every point in your life, those who are for you are greater than those who are against you. Rise up on your feet. As a man thinketh, your mental composition, endure. You are in that department, it looks like you will die. It will not kill you. You are not the first to graduate from there. Endure hardship. Endure the mockery. You will be misunderstood. You are being nice to brothers. Sometimes you cook for them. They've called you desperate. Endure. Don't worry. A day will come. His honor will come upon your life. Lift your voice and thank the Lord for the word tonight. Pray. The mental composition that makes you victorious. The mental composition. I give you a guarantee with the integrity of God backed up. It will make you exceptional. It will make you notable. Are you praying, Koinonia? Hallelujah. I like you to lift up your voice and say, Lord, I bring my mindset under the Lordship of Christ, that every mentality in me that is making me think in a way that is inconsistent with the patterns of greatness, I take authority over it. Lift your voice and pray. Koinonia, are you praying tonight? I pull down strongholds. I cast down imaginations. Guard your heart with all diligence. It is the key to your prosperity. Your mindset is the key to the increase in the anointing. Is the key to the Holy Spirit doing mighty things in your life. The key to you being a champion. The key to you breaking cultural barriers. The key to you being mighty. I don't care where you are now. I don't care what is wrong now. Endure. Be strong. Be strong. Hold on. Be strong. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. The name
of the mindset I want you to have is called the mind of Christ. The resultant effect of this transformation is called the mind of Christ. Then you become an envoy. Then you master life. Then you become a champion. Men honor you as if you charm them. Everywhere you go, you are a magnet. And people are saying, what? I'm giving you the mental requirements of an exceptional life. Please give us Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Oh Lord, I pray that your people will listen. Permit this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word let there is permit. Allow it. God is saying change. I want to make you mighty. You came from Kogi State. I know there is witchcraft. But can you adjust your mind and see a champion that I will make out of you? I know you are weak. The whole family stays in one room. But can you make that shift in your mind? Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, Koinonia. Let this mind be in you. Upgrade your mindset. Don't let culture cheat you. Don't let your past cheat you. Hallelujah. I like you to lift your voice and say, Lord, I reject inferiority and low self-esteem. You have made me great. I'm not cheap. I'm not a local champion. I stop trying to do things. Pray, pray, pray. I stop trying to do things to prove a point. I stop trying to borrow money to look rich. I stop trying to tell lies to look like I'm making progress. I reject a life of falsehood. I move gradually, gradually, level by level. Pray. I reject low self-esteem. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. No culture, no CGPA, no financial level, no challenge will ever make me feel bad. Job or lack of job, admission or lack of admission, marriage or lack of marriage, let it never get to you and make you feel inferior. Pray. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I refuse to feel inferior. The favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. A champion on my way to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this prayer point, I'd like you to pray it with all your heart. Say, Lord, my mouth has brought too much trouble in my life. It will not continue like this. I set a guard over my mouth. I have gossiped my way to trouble. I have lied my way to trouble. I have joined the heads of people and friends. I've done a lot of things that have destroyed people. Go ahead and pray. I offer my mouth, my tongue, my lips. From today, it becomes an object of blessing, an instrument of lifting. Pray. I add character and a healthy mindset to my anointing. I speak aright. I speak only when I need to. Set a watch, oh God, over my lips. Set a watch, oh God, over my lips. Set a watch, oh God, over my lips. May I not destroy my friends with my words. May I not destroy my destiny helpers. May I not drive away my instruments of breakthrough. May I not scatter my family with my words. May I not destroy ministry. May I not destroy my academics. May I not destroy my anointing with bad words, uncultured words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, we are going to pray. Say, Lord, from today, I have respect and honor for all men, regardless of who they are, regardless of who their parents are. Grant me grace to demonstrate genuine respect and honor for people, those higher than me, my contemporaries, and even those lower than me. Lift your voice and cry to God. I repent of my rude nature. I repent of my pride and arrogance. Lord, I receive grace. May courtesy open doors of access to me. May honor open doors of access to me. Are you praying? Put a guard, oh God, on my lips. I want to be exceptional. I want to be exceptional. I want to shorten the journey to my destiny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last prayer point, hold hands around. We are going to pray. Because you will need grace to fulfill this. You are going to pray and say, Lord, over what you have called me to do, I will endure. Over the preparation, I'm in the school of the Spirit. It does not yet appear, but I will endure. Lord, men are mocking me, but I will endure. My finances are mocking me. My lack of marriage, my lack of childbirth is mocking me, but I will endure. Lift your voice and pray. A supply of grace. A supply of grace. I refuse to be under pressure. Pray. Pray. Grace. Grace. Grace to continue in the midst of harsh conditions. Grace to continue in the midst of persecution. Grace to continue. That ministry must not die. That anointing must not die. That business must not die. That job seeking must not end. I endure to the end. I endure to the end. There's no food now, but I endure. I don't have friends now, but I endure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, I want to encourage everybody in preparation for miracle service on Friday. Listen to this message again. Make sure you get it. Please, just listen to these instructions. Listen to this message again. Get all the messages I've preached on greatness and success and listen to it. I want this rain to fall on everybody. Listen to it. The rain must fall. Because if the clouds be full, see, let me tell you, before the end of this year, there will be an emergence of kingdom millionaires right here. Yes, it will happen. It's not just by claiming. This is the pathway. I'm showing you how. Before the end of this year, men will step into levels of anointing. Many of you will, you will be so exceptional it will scare you. Submit yourself to the dealings. Submit yourself to the prunings. The teachings may be very hard on you, but don't take it personal. Take it as God building you to be a champion. The person who loves you is the one who will not leave you the way you are. A friend will pat you the way you are. You see that?
But the one who wants to change you will sharpen you till you become mighty. Listen, there are people here, we're all inside now, who are yet to give their lives to Jesus Christ. If you are not born again, or you are backsliding on God, is a mentality, is a sign that you do not yet see that He is the only true God and should be the only factor in your life. I'm giving you an opportunity right now. There are people here, I believe, who need to give their lives to Jesus for the first time, and others need to rededicate their lives and say, Lord, I'm returning back home. The mindset I've been having that drives your presence away from me. I cannot be living my life the way I want. Make your way to the front right now. 1 minute for this, please. Make your way to the front. If there are people like that, no matter where you are, don't sit down waiting for the first person. If there are people right now, wherever you are, God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate them. They are coming. Don't be ashamed. They can come and stand here. God bless you. I know He's not the only one. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, make your way out. Make sure you find your way right now. Come to Jesus. Make your way right now. Make your way right now. Make your way right now. Commit your heart to the Lord. No playing games with destiny. Make your way. Hallelujah. Those of you standing, thank you for coming out. You must mean business with Jesus. Lift your right hand and say after me, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. And I make up my mind that from today, I will walk with you. I receive the grace. I receive eternal life into my spirit. From today, I'm a new creation. Jesus is Lord of my life. I denounce sin and Satan and the way of the flesh in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for coming out. May the Lord bless you. I lay my hands upon you.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Parenting Network International, or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_KNI. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Parenting Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.